This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Hallelujah. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will uphold you in the name of Jesus. And for every one of us, the Lord will keep us. The Lord will uphold us in the name of Jesus. I welcome everyone to church this morning. I have a few announcements before we get into the message this morning. It's our first service in the year, and it's our Thanksgiving service. So it's going to be a great one in the name of Jesus. You know, so talking of which, let me quickly lay this down for us. Fasting actually started on the 2nd. I apologize, I didn't know myself. It's a Daniel fast. You know, the RCCG North America, we do our Daniel fast every January. And that started on the 2nd. And it will continue until the 10th. But the RCCG worldwide fast will start January 11th. That one is not Daniel. That one is full-blown fast. Praise the Lord. And it will be for 50 days. 50 days. That's from January the 11th till February 29th. Somebody say amen. Amen. At least it's not 100 days now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the church office has put together a form that they would really like for us to please fill out for us. And in talking about that, I really want to appreciate us as a church. I want to appreciate us as a church, every single one of us. I want you to put your hands together for yourself. Just me clapping will be louder than all of us put together. Amen. Amen. You know, if you ever see a leader that does not have followers, it's just taking a walk. Amen. The reason we can boast we have a church, of course, in Christ, is because we have people. And that includes everyone under the sound of my voice this morning. And it is because of your faithful donations and giving that we have been able to continue throughout the year, and we are very grateful for that. We're going to be compiling, well, the reports are actually ready, the contribution statements for the year 2015. But a lot of people, they have moved, addresses have changed, information have changed, and we don't have current information on the system, particularly emails. Please take special note of email addresses, because we email the contribution statements, and this is the 21st century, you know, but we know that there are still some grandmas and some people that don't do emails. Very few, very, very few, you know, but we'll still make accommodations for those. But for the rest of us, we'll really appreciate if you can faithfully fill out that information. And I tried the past couple of months to reach out to as many people as possible on their birthdays, wedding anniversaries. But the information we have on the system, again, in some cases, are wrong. Yesterday, I text somebody to wish him a happy birthday. He said, amen, thank you, sir. Then I was congratulating the wife. The wife said, no, it's not his birthday. His birthday is not until the 12th. I'm like, really? We have the 2nd on the system. So please write legibly. Write legibly. There was somebody else I congratulated on the 1st. She said, no, my birthday is on Sunday. Where's Rose? Happy birthday to you. We'll be getting to it in a minute. Hallelujah. You know, so please write legibly. Write legibly. We want to celebrate with you your special dates and all of these things, but we need your help for us to be able to do that. And the Lord will bless you as you fill it out faithfully in Jesus' name. And we also know that we have couples that, you know, contribute differently. They have different envelope numbers. We would like to know if you want us to combine, to merge your contributions, or you want your contribution statements individually. And you will see that in the bottom. It says, may we combine your contribution statement with your spouse? So you check yes or no to let us know what you would like for us to do as far as that goes. Praise the Lord. And finally, concerning announcements, you see, this is what they do to me every time. All the announcements I have to make, my time is still running. At the end of it, the pastor is the one that caused us to run over. But which time will I have to do this announcement? Finally, I would like for us to remember in our prayers the co-pastor. She started the journey on the first, like she said she would. And she's on the mountain waiting on the Lord in prayer for us. Keep her in your prayers as she keeps us in her prayers. And if you have prayer requests, the email address is joyce.shutin@gmail.com. joyce.shutin@gmail.com. Believe it or not, even I myself, I'm not seeing her. She's locked up in the room. I just hear her voice pray. I say amen. 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 Let's bow our hearts to pray. Eternal Rock of Ages, Lord, we are so grateful. Daddy, our hearts are filled with joy. Because, Lord, the enemy thought he could have the upper hand. But, Lord, you showed him that you are indeed God. And, Lord, we are grateful. Please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, the next few minutes that we'll look into your word of life to encourage, to exhort, to rebuke ourselves. Father, I pray that you will speak to us in the name of Jesus. Daddy, teach us your word by yourself in the mighty name of Jesus. At the end of the day, let all the glory be yours. Let all the honor be yours in the name of Jesus. And let the blessings be ours in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as the Lord has spoken to us, the year 2016 is our year of resurgence. It's my year of resurgence. It's your year of resurgence. You know, and I would like to wish everybody one more time a happy and a prosperous new year in Jesus' mighty name. May the Lord's will be perfected in your life in the name of Jesus. Brethren, let me encourage you this morning. It is very important that the will of God is what is done in our lives. Amen. I know we have a lot of desires for our lives, you know, and the Bible says God will grant us our heart desires according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. You see, there is a clarification there. It's not just about what I want, amen, it's about what I want in riches in glory. So if it is not in his riches in glory, then it's not desirable unto him. May the Lord perfect his will concerning our lives this year in the mighty name of Jesus. And I love New Year. I love New Year. At the beginning of the year like this, we all get to, you know, do what we do best. You know, it's an exciting, fun time of the year when people get to press the reset button, at least verbally. bless you, man. We get to press the reset button verbally. You know, people begin to make New Year resolutions. You know, this year I'm going to eat less. This year I'm going to exercise. This year I will sign up with the gym. And gyms, they make a lot of money at the beginning of the year because people do sign up. It's just that they don't show up. Signing up and showing up are two different things. You know, so people get to make all kinds of resolutions. How many people have already made resolutions for the year already? Raise your hand. Nothing to be ashamed about. You have not failed. Yeah, you will not fail. You have made your wave it. Wave. If you are confident, you have made it. Aha. The Lord will give you grace. I say Jehovah will give you grace to accomplish those things that you have set out to do this year in Jesus' mighty name. You know, so we make all kinds of resolutions. Some say, you know what, this year I'm going to go on mission trip. We welcome you. We'll be going in May, second week of May. You can block out the dates. You know, second week of May will be from Thursday to Saturday. We'll be going to Mexico. We do that annually. You know, some say, you know, this year I'm going to get this certification thing done. I thank God for Sister Wumi's life. She shared her testimony with us at the crossover service. She's been putting it off since 2006. 2006, finally she did it last year. And finally God gave her good success. This year God will give you good success. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, so it's good when we make those resolutions. And God will give us the grace. Remember, we have said this year is a year of resurgence of grace. The grace to accomplish, the grace to do, God will give unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. But I want us to understand that when we talk about time, it does not pertain to God. Because God lives in a timeless zone. If you ever see a scripture that attaches time to God, it is for the benefit of man to understand in that time frame when it will happen. God lives in eternity. He's not controlled, he's not managed by time. In fact, the Bible tells us that 1,000 days is like one day before the Lord. 1,000 days is like one day before our God. So I truly believe the word that the Lord has given unto us. And I pray that God will restore hope to the hopeless and strength to the feeble in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, but there are a few concerns that I've had about the body of Christ for some time now. I'll be speaking at an event at the end of the month, you know, and the topic they gave me to speak about is putting the go in the go ye. It's pretty much talking about evangelism. You know, and I don't know why they gave me that topic, you know, but I've told myself the first disclaimer I'm going to make is I'm not an expert on the topic, but I have prayed, and this is what the Lord says. You know, and as I've been praying and preparing towards that event, I started doing my research, and what I found out is quite shocking. And this should wake us up as a church. I found out that in America, the number of people that are considered unchurched, listen close to this, unchurched people in America, the number is a whopping 114 million people. 114 million people. And that is not including the 42 million that are children and teenagers. When you combine the two numbers, you have a total of 156 million people that are considered unchurched in America. And this is according to Barna Group, 2014. And listen to this. According to Barna, Barna said if that population were to be a nation, it would be the 8th largest nation in the world. That is as many people that we have an opportunity to reach. In fact, I checked the figures. It will be more than the population of Russia. The last census of Russia was 143 million. So imagine a nation as massive as Russia, all of them needing salvation. But what we have today is the church has gotten so drunk with itself that we have people that are spiritually overfed and now engage in what I call, you know, spiritual prostitution. Just go here for this revival, go there for that thing, go there for the other thing. And we have forgotten the central call of God for our lives. It is my prayer and my heart desire that in this year, as the resurgence is taking place, that there will be a new surge in the church of Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus, that the church will begin to grow by conversion and not by migration. In the name of Jesus, it is our year of resurgence. This is the dream that I have, and I know that dream will come to pass. In the name of Jesus. And many of us have dreams that have not been realized. We have hopes that have been dashed. But today, I want to talk to us very quickly. I know I'm not going to finish, so that's okay. I'm just going to treat one part of it, and next Sunday, we will conclude on this. There's a man that I've studied severally in Scripture that I would like to talk about today in the Old Testament by the name Joseph. Every time I have gone back to read about the life of this man of God, I have learned new truths. And I would like to share some of this with us today. Joseph, his story you will read from Genesis chapter 37 to Genesis chapter 50. There are a couple of interruptions in Genesis 38, for example. You read about the rendezvous of Judah with his daughter-in-law, you know, and then in chapter 49, you read about the declarations of Jacob over his sons. But what I want us to know today is the word resurgence simply means a continuation after an interruption. You're saying you're having a resurge. It means it ceased and now it's coming back into play. Amen. Our scripture of the month, John chapter 12, verse 24. John 12, 24 reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abideth alone." Say, but if it dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit. Amen. Think about it. It's saying for that seed to bring forth fruit, that seed, first of all, has to die. And if you ever plant a seed by putting it on a table, you know it can grow. Have you ever seen seed growing on the table? But what happens to it? Does it bear fruit? No, it will die. For a seed to bear fruit, you have to put it in the earth. You have to put it in the earth. I want you to hold that thought as we continue. Amen. What it's simply saying is that seed will become fruitful after it has experienced an interruption. So the interruption that you have experienced in your life is not end of life story, it's just the beginning of your life story. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Job chapter 14 and verse 7, Job 14 verse 7, it said, if a tree is cut down, it said there is hope for that tree. It means you cut down a tree, you may cause it to have a setback. But the Bible says, at the scent of water, it shall sprout again. I don't know about you. If you are here, you are under the sound of my voice this morning. And it seems like over the time, you have been cut down. You have had a setback. At the scent of water, the word of God is the living water. At the scent of water, you will sprout again. In the mighty name of Jesus. The problem is a lot of people, after a failed encounter, will refuse to try again. But God has given us a sure word for this year that you will come back. I will come back in the name of Jesus. You know, it is our regional pastor that says when we give a blessing and it is not received, we take it back and we receive it for ourselves. I say, you will come back in the name of Jesus. Let me give us a quick biography on Joseph before we begin to really dig in. Joseph was the 11th son of his father Jacob, or Israel. His dad was quite old when he had him, so he's called the son of his old age. And you see that in Genesis 37 and verse 3. His mom, Rachel, was his father's sweetheart. In fact, the Bible tells us when you read from Genesis 35 that he worked 14 years. He served his father-in-law for 14 years because of this chick. It must be a beautiful chick. Amen. The deal was 7 years. He did the 7 years. And when they gave him the wife, he was too drunk to know the wife they gave him. He woke up in the morning and said, no, this is not what I worked for. Praise the Lord. And they told him, well, in our custom and tradition, we don't give the younger out before the older is married. He said, okay, what will it take to get the one that I really want? He said, another 7 years. He said, that's fine. So he was the son, the first son of his father's sweetheart. His mom died in labor while she was having the younger brother, Benjamin. His father loved him more than his brothers and made him a coat of many colors. And I'm sure many of us know that story, the coat of many colors. You know, there's so much I can say to you about the fathering skills of Jacob, but today is not the day for that. Maybe when we are doing our family program, we'll talk about it. But let me just highlight a few things that stands out about the life of Jacob so that you can understand the circumstances out of which Joseph is coming from. His son, Reuben, had an affair with his concubine, and he did exactly nothing about it. He was on his deathbed. He cursed him. His sons, Levi and Simeon, tricked the men of Shechem and killed them. And guess what he did? He slapped them on the back of their hand. Why did you do that? He flagrantly preferred Joseph to his brothers and made him a coat of many colors. And exactly for that reason, the brothers hated him. Parents, do not show preferential treatment to your children. It was apparent to them that he loved Joseph more than them, and they hated him for it. All of them unanimously, except for the little one that was at home. And this is how his story began to unfold. But can I tell you something this morning? The promises of God for your life is not predicated on people liking you. Are you listening close to me? What God will do in your life, the promise of God is not based on popularity contest. Amen? So you are working so hard so that people can like you and all of this. That is not what the promise of God is all about. In fact, the Bible tells us in Genesis 29:31, that because Leah was hated, God opened her womb. Maybe you have been rejected and some people have shown preferential treatment over you. They have hated you. God will promote you. I say God will lift you up. In the year 2016, you will enjoy the favor of God. In the name of Jesus. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you read the story of Hannah. The Bible says Hannah, God shut her womb, and the other woman despised her. But God arose for her. God will arise for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Because of the very fact that you have been rejected and neglected and all of those things, God will arise on your behalf in the name of Jesus. So Joseph saw a great future. He saw a great vision of his own future. He saw something wonderful ahead of him. I don't know how to classify Joseph. I really don't know. I'm still praying for God to give me the words to describe him. Because when people hate you as much as the brothers hated him, I don't think it was a secret. And you don't carry the promises of God, prophecy about your life, you don't carry it to go and share with your enemies or with people that hate you. He had two dreams in Genesis chapter 37. You read from about the 5th verse to about the 11th verse. He had two dreams. The first dream, as soon as he dreamt the dream, he ran to his brother and said, I have a dream. He said, what's the dream? He said, I saw 11 sheaves. And my sheaf, they were all standing. And then all the 11 sheaves started bowing to my own sheaf. They looked at it. He said, not only did our Father prefer you over us? He made you a coat of many colors. You are even beginning to dream that we will bow to you. The Bible says they hated him even the more. And then he had a second dream. You know, how did he tell them that story? They hated him the more, and he didn't see it in their countenance. So he had a second dream. Guess what? Bro, sis. Bro, I had another dream. I have another dream. He said, this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing to me. And then he went and told it to the father. The father said, Shut your mouth. The Bible says he kept it to heart. But the brothers, all of that now infuriated them so much. They now hated him with a vengeance and with a passion. And this is how the story of Joseph began. So God showed him what was going to happen. And then there was a sudden interruption in his life. And during that phase of the interruption in his life, four things happened to him. The first one is what we're talking about today. His life dream was interrupted for about 13 years. And during this period, he went through four stages that I have dubbed four P's. The first P of the stage one is the pit. And I read Genesis 37 from verse 12 to 20. And his brethren, Genesis 37, 12 to 20. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here I am. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. Verse 17. And the man said, 18. Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Listen to this. It is a dangerous thing when you show favoritism among even siblings. His own brothers were plotting to kill him. And they were planning how they would lie about everything and throw him in a pit and lie that an evil beast had killed him. You know, not only for parents, even as a leader, it's very important that you don't show favoritism. Once you show favoritism, you are going to break your group. You are going to divide your group. You are going to have the opposition, and then you are going to have those that are for, and you just mess everything up. But the thing I want you to know about the life of Joseph that you may not have known is how diligent, how faithful, how obedient he was to the father. Listen to me. The resurgence that we're talking about, if you are going to experience it to any great extent, you have to be like Joseph. Listen, already he used to go to the field with his brothers. When you read Genesis 37 verse 2, the Bible says they fed the flock together. But by the time we're reading now, the father had withdrawn him, seeing the hatred of his brother for him. But then the father was concerned about the brothers. He sent him to go look for his brothers. Number one thing you must know about Joseph. Joseph was obedient at the risk of his own life. Amen. He followed the Lord. He followed his father's instruction all the way, even though his life was on the line. If you are going to accomplish all that God has for you, you must be ready to put your life on the line for him. Amen. For some people, it might be a meal that you have to put on the line. It means you have to fast. For some people, it might be political correctness that you will have to dare to do what the Lord has instructed. I just gave you raw statistics this morning. 156 million people in America are considered unchurched. What are you going to do about it? So when we have an event in church, are you going to invite people from that church and from that church and from that church to come? What are we doing exactly? What souls are we winning? What are we doing? Is it about we want to say, our program was successful. In fact, we have 500 people. But how many people were saved? What difference did we make? What impact was made? Joseph was ready to put his life on the line for the father. Number two. This text is not explicit about this, but when you go study the Bible, you will understand this. They were at Hebron, and he sent him from Hebron to Shechem. From Hebron to Shechem is 50 miles on foot. It's like we bid Alexis farewell. We give her a bottle of water back to Austin on foot. That's what he did. It sounds funny, but that's what he did. He walked all the way to Austin to go check out the welfare of his brothers. And check this out. He was willing to walk to and fro. There's something about sacrifice in life. I know the Christianity that has been handed to us now is a Christianity of God bless me, God do it, God kill them, God make me whole. It's just about me. But if we're going to go far with God, there is sacrifice that comes with going far with God. He walked, it took him about 5 days to get to Shechem from Hebron. And then he got to Shechem. They said, your brothers just left. In fact, I heard them saying they are going to Dothan. From Shechem to Dothan is another 15 miles. Some of us, if there's no parking around the perimeter of the church, say, maybe I should just go home. I have to walk all the way from down there to walk all the way to church. That's too far. My ankle will break. Amen. But this guy, for some of us, once you get to Shechem, they are not there. You go back. My father sent me to Shechem. He said, Pastor, I went there. I didn't see anybody. You will just very carefully forget to mention the fact that somebody said they went to Dothan. He said, I looked everywhere in Shechem. They were not there. They were not there. The brothers made good their promise. They were going to kill him, but their brother Reuben intervened. Said, don't kill him. Why don't we sell him? Can you imagine brothers speaking about their own blood in such manner? So let's sell him. Let's make a buck off of him. You know. But you know the problem they had with him? His dream. The Bible said when they saw him from afar, say, here comes the dreamer. We're going to kill him and then we will see what will happen to his dream. Everyone that is planning to truncate your destiny, they will not die. They will be alive to see you succeed. Oh, they will be alive to say that your God is a good God. in the name of Jesus. The psalmist said, the Lord prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He gave them good health that they can see what God is doing. Perhaps they may be converted. All this prayer of fall down, die. Let's leave it alone. Since you have been praying fall down, die, many of them have died. God is a merciful God. Is the truth? God is a merciful God. Oh, fall down, die, die, die. How many of them have died? Ask yourself. God is a merciful God. He does not want any to die. He does not want any to perish. But he wants them to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we need to change our prayer points. Amen. Maybe we need to change it. I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, okay. Very well. We won't sell him then. I mean, we won't kill him. We will make a buck off of him. Friends, every interruption in that journey of life, listen to me close. There's a caveat to this. Every interruption in your journey of life, as long as you are in the will of God, is all a part of the program. There's no way Joseph will have made it to his place in destiny if they had not sold him into slavery. But before they sold him into slavery, check out what they did. The Bible says they cast him in a pit. They cast him in a pit. Chapter 37 and verse 24. Genesis 37, verse 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And look at the description of the pit. The pit was empty and there was no water in it. Friends, you can survive without food for a long time, but you cannot survive without water for a long time. Their purpose was evil. Their intent was evil, but for God. But for God. Friends, there may be pain in the journey of life, but that pain is part of the process. Can you do me a favor this morning? Look at your neighbor. Say it's part of the process. The pain, the trouble, the trials, the tribulations. It's all part of the process. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. This is the great Apostle Paul. He said, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and that hope does not make ashamed. Amen. Hold on to him. Hold on to him. They threw him in the pit. They threw him in the pit. And when some slave traders were passing by, they sold him to them. But can I tell you what the pit is? Number one, the Bible says the pit was an empty pit. I am convinced that there's at least one person listening to me this morning that is in a pit. This is a conviction I received in the place of prayer. There's somebody here this morning, at least one person listening to me, that's in a pit. Nothing is happening. There's no money. There's no resource. There's no connection. There's nothing to hold on to. You are just glad that you are alive. But God wants me to assure you this morning that he has not forgotten about you. In fact, you just made it to church today just so that it would not be said of you that you didn't go to church. You're going through the motions, but you know on the inside you're empty. I want you to know it's all a part of the process. The pit is empty. The pit is a lonely place. Nothing to hang on to anymore. You have suffered significant setback, and you are wondering how you're going to come back. You will come back. I say you will come back. the Lord will bring you back in the mighty name of Jesus. The pit is a transition place. It's not a permanent place. You know, there was a time my wife and I, we were coming back from Nigeria and we flew American Airlines. You know, so they for some reason, they took us through Heathrow Airport. Man, that day, I told her, I said, never again. Because the airport they were renovating, it was just too much stress. It was too much trouble. I was so happy the children were not with us. So I told her, I said, never again. But guess what? It was just a transit station. It's not my final destination. The pit where you are right now is not your final destination. It is a transit station. And you will pass through. And then in the name of Jesus, you will pass through on the other side. You will be better than where you are right now. In the name of Jesus. Brethren, have you noticed the destination is always better than the transit station? A bus stop is not a home. If you put your bed and pillow at a bus stop, there's a name they call such people, mad. You carry your bed and you say, I'm just going to let me pitch my tent at the bus stop. No, nobody does that. Nobody does that. That's crazy. They're going to call that individual crazy. Nobody does that. Where you are right now, tell your neighbor, I'm at a bus stop. I'm on my way home. I will make it home. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31. Isaiah 37, 31. It says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root where? Downward. And then bear fruit upward. You know what that is saying to you? The way up is down. If you feel like you are down at this time, it's because God is setting you for an uplift. If you feel down right now, God is setting you up for what? An uplift. He will lift you up. He will set you up. He will bring you back. You will come back. I say you will come back. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you rise to your feet this morning? Rise to your feet. The Bible says in Psalm 40 from verse 1, Psalm 40 and verse 1, 1 to 3. It says, I waited patiently upon the Lord. And he inclined unto me, and he had me, and he pulled me out of the horrible pit. The Lord will pull you out of this horrible pit. I said, 2016, you will not remain in that horrible pit. God will pull you out of the horrible pit, and he will set you on your way to destiny. In the name of Jesus, he pulled me out of the terrible pit, and he set my feet upon the rock to stay. And verse 3 says, he put a song in my mouth. He put a song in my mouth. God will put a song in your mouth. I said, Jehovah will put a song in your mouth in the name of Jesus. Lift up both hands to heaven. In the name of Jesus. Both hands, lift it up high. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come unto you today. Lord, pull me out of every pit of life. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you begin to pray for yourself? No one can pray for you better than you can pray for yourself. You know where you are. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, pull me out of the pit in the name of Jesus. Get me out of this pit, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. David testified that you pulled him out of the horrible pit. Lord, beginning from right now, let the resurgence begin. Let my research begin. Even now, turn my setback to a comeback. Turn my setback even to a comeback for a setup for glory in the name of Jesus.
Pull me out, O Lord. Pull me out, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Le katalia ragada. E karadaboshanta. E come back for my setback. In the name of Jesus. E come back for my setback. In the name of Jesus. Le katalia radabashandaria. E kosotalia radabashandalia ragada. E kotopredia. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed.
I want you to continue to pray that prayer for yourself. Brethren, nobody, please listen to me. Nobody can pray for you better than you can pray for yourself. Nobody. Because you know the intensity of the situations of your life, and you can present it to the Lord. I'm going to leave you with a scripture. I want you to meditate on this scripture. And if you have any questions about it, come ask me. I will explain to you. Open to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9. If you have your own Bible, mark it, underline it, color it, highlight it. Whatever you need to do, do. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. It says, as for you also. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. I like the rendition in Amplified Version. As for you also. Because of and for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which was sealed with sprinkled covenant blood, I have released and set forth your imprisoned people out of the waterless pit. God will set you free from every waterless pit in the name of Jesus. It will set you up in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, I give you praise. I give you glory. I worship and adore you. Lord, as we rejoice today, Lord, I pray, let our celebration of comeback begin now. In the name of Jesus, let our uplifting begin now. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise, I give you glory. And Lord, I thank you for your daughter, even my wife, as she waits upon you in fasting and in praying. Lord, that you will strengthen her. Jehovah, that you will uphold her. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give her a word for your church. In the name of Jesus, let there be a transformation. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be highly exalted. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.